Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
The British government is set to introduce new measures to crack down on so-called cowboy cosmetic procedures. Wes Streeting, the Health Secretary, plans to introduce legislation next year restricting who can access and who can perform aesthetic treatments. With more on this, I'm joined by Poppy Karanka, health correspondent with the London Times. Good morning, Poppy. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Thanks for joining us. Yeah, good. So Labour has likened the industry as it currently operates to the Wild West, and they say it's down to the lack of regulation. What is the state of play in the industry at the moment?
I mean, at the moment, there is almost nothing to prevent someone from setting up a clinic. I mean, I could probably set one up tomorrow from my living room with absolutely no qualifications, no nothing. There's almost nothing out there. It's quite patchy. And yeah, it sort of falls between the cracks, I think, of medicine and aesthetics. So yeah, it's very difficult at the moment.
Right. I take it that that is a hypothetical, but the kind of treatments that are on offer are low-risk so-called tweakments to more high-risk procedures. So what kind of treatments are we talking about? What has, I suppose, given rise to the problem that the government has identified?
Well, we've got your basic Botox, so that prevents wrinkles from forming. We've got dermal filler, so that could be to in your lips or, you know, in other areas of the face. Also, to the more high risk end, we're talking about something called a liquid BBL, which is where essentially dermal filler or cosmetic fluid is injected into the buttocks to give them a sort of more round appearance. And that can be very, very dangerous indeed.
Right. The so-called, as you say, BBL, Brazilian butt lift. And I mean, have there been medical horror stories that has brought this to public attention and pressured the government to act?
Yeah, absolutely. People have suffered from some very serious consequences. The charity Save Face, which has been campaigning for a change in the law, said that it supported more than 750 women who had had negative effects from a liquid BBL. But last year, there was actually a woman, Alice Webb, who very sadly died after having a liquid BBL in her home in Gloucester. So it's really quite dangerous. It can lead to tissue necrosis. It can lead to sepsis if it's done badly. So it's a very present need that we have for this kind of regulation.
And as you say, no, I mean, there is a bit of debate here around who should be able to deliver it between doctors and nurses. But people, as you say, with no medical training operating out of their homes and other non-medical environments, I suppose the question might be asked, and Save Face might have asked it, how has this gone on for so long?
It's honestly, it's pretty baffling that it has, especially when we do have these headlines quite frequently of people having really awful and life-changing, if not life-ending, side effects from this stuff. I think it's probably gone on for a while as it's women a lot of the time that are affected by it. I don't know whether that's been a contributing factor, but it's quite a hard thing to clamp down on, and it's quite a hard thing to regulate.
And is there a shame factor maybe that people, you know, if they have bought what they would see as a bargain treatment that later goes wrong, maybe people don't want to bring that to light because there's an element of shame associated with how the procedure has gone wrong?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people, there is a bit of a secrecy around cosmetic procedures and, as you say, a shame. I think a lot of people wouldn't say whether they'd had it done if it went well. And so when it goes badly, I think it's quite hard to speak up about it and call for more regulation or, you know, become the face of something, of a campaign like that. So it's why charities such as Save Face are really helpful.
Okay, another one people might be surprised by, there's going to be a clampdown on under 18s getting treatment. The fact that they could ever access it will come as a shock to people, but this has been a problem, has it?
Yes, I think so. So the regulation is basically quite spotty. They can get access to some treatments and not others. I believe Botox is a no, but I think filler might be a yes. they're going to change that to sort of make it so that they can't access any of the procedures. You would, if you did need a procedure, you would need a medical sign off for one. So for example, in situations where someone might have suffered from burns or had an accident where cosmetic treatment might be necessary for their well-being, they would be able to get it, but it would need to be signed off by a doctor.
Right. And I mean, the rules that are going to be introduced, and I'll get you to go through them in a moment, but they'll be introduced in the UK, but presumably no more than in Ireland. People are travelling abroad to places like Turkey to get procedures done. And, you know, whether or not they're going for regulated procedures abroad is another question.
Yeah, it's another thing. And I think it could be subject to some different regulations later on. It's pretty hard to stop people from travelling for medical reasons or cosmetic reasons. But with in terms of stuff like the liquid BBL, it's a low-cost alternative to a surgical BBL. So it might mean that it may no longer make sense to travel abroad if, you know, you're adding on that extra cost. It might not make sense to do that anymore, but it sort of remains to be seen.
And what's a surgical BBL? Is that like getting an implant instead of getting the liquid injected?
Exactly, yeah. So it would be anesthetic, going under the knife and sort of general anesthetic. It's obviously a lot more costly to do that, but it is better regulated because it's obviously in a hospital.
For sure, instead. Yeah. So how will the new rules work? I mean, where will the people register and what kind of qualifications will they have to administer those treatments that you've been talking about, like Botox or filler or the non-surgical procedures and products?
So at the moment, it sort of remains to be seen. The government's going to do a public consultation, which I believe comes back at the beginning of next year, to speak to people in the industry about how best to regulate stuff without preventing business. So it does seem that clinics will need to be registered with the Care and Quality Commission in England. So they'll need to have a proper residence of address to carry out procedures. It can't just be in a living room. It would be likely that they need to meet very rigorous safety and training and insurance standards to operate. And with the CQC, if they do fall foul of the CQC's regulations, they would be face fines for falling foul of those as well. In terms of what professionals can administer these treatments, that also will have to be seen. It will be part of the public consultation. So we'll see what kind of people are able to inject them once that comes back.
And has there been any resistance to this? I mean, politically, there is probably a consensus on it, but from people who are currently administering these treatments in the likes of tanning salons or anything else, has there been any pushback?
Honestly, I think people are very, very welcoming of this new regulations. I think for people in the industry, a lot of them, you know, want some kind of credential to say, I am trained, I am qualified to do this, you know, you can trust me. At the moment, because there's no regulation, there's no way to say, yep, I've got a gold stamp of approval, I'm better than XYZ person who does it out of their living room. So it would definitely help get a bit of trust between cosmetic practitioners and their clients. It doesn't seem to it's been well received, I think.
Okay, Poppy Karanka, health correspondent with the London Times. Thanks very much for joining us this morning. Coming up, what's the length of a perfect pop song?
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.